You're tuned into KRCU's Going Public. I'm Dan Woods, joined in the studio now by Dr. Adam Cribley. He's the director of the Center for Regional History at Southeast Missouri State University.
Hi, Dan.
Welcome. Good to talk to you today.
Good to be here.
So we want to visit about a new book of short stories called 12 Corners, The Refuge of My Youth by Ruby, is it Ailey?
Allie.
Yeah. Allie Wright. So what can you tell us about this book of short stories?
Well, we were approached at the Center for Regional History about a year and a half ago by a gentleman whose mother had written a collection of short stories. And the gentleman that I'm speaking of, Alan Wright, had actually published a book with the University Press a few years ago called Murder on Rouse Hill. Hmm. And so was well known to our University Press, and I knew him through that story. And so he reached out and told us that he had this collection of short stories that his mother had put together and also had commissioned some watercolor paintings of this. And at the time, we weren't publishing any books, hadn't published anything since 2014, I believe. And so gave him a nod, and, okay, we'll look at it later. And actually got around to reading the manuscript, and the immediate comparison I made was Laura Ingalls Wilder. And so my daughters, I've got three daughters, and all love the Little House on the Prairie series, and so I talked to them a little bit about it, and they were enthusiastic that I should actually read more. So that's kind of how it came about. It was not something we were looking to pursue, but it came about at a good time, and really I think a fitting collection of short stories.
And so tell us the setting of this. It's in the Ozarks, right?
Sure. Yeah, it's in Miller County, Missouri, and it took place in the 1920s. Most of the stories, and they describe the stories of a young Ruby Wright with her older sister, who she calls Millie. And the two of them get into the kind of hijinks you honestly see in the Little House series, where the river is flooded, and so they have to get the horses are stuck in the middle of the river, and they get lost in the middle of the night, and they're scared because it's dark and they don't have cell phones and GPS, and so just the kind of stories of childhoods from the early 20th century that I think seem so foreign now that. But there are enough connections to today that I think it's relevant, as well as that nostalgia.
Is it sort of a picture of what life was like in this part of Missouri during the 1920s?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's funny because, again, it takes place in the 1920s, which is a few decades after Little House. But being that given the level of isolation of the Ozarks, and that most travel was done still by horse and wagon, and there are a few pretty humorous events that take place when they do have automobiles that come through, because the people who are driving them don't necessarily know how to care for them, and the people in town kind of view them as it's an event when somebody comes through with this car. That it's very much a story of rural life in 1920s Missouri.
Let's talk about some of the watercolors.
Sure.
These really sort of just jump out of the page.
Yeah, they really make the book. And it was the one thing that I think was the driving force behind me pursuing this. The collection of short stories are fantastic, but they really are set off by these beautiful watercolors that the author's son, Alan Wright, commissioned and were essential in the publication process. We made sure we had the rights to those secured before we began publication, because they really do make the stories pop out and bring them to life, and they're beautiful watercolors as well.
Yeah, who drew them?
The artist is on there, Donna Marie Crum, I believe.
Okay.
I could be mispronouncing the name, but it's
okay.
She commissioned the Donna Blumer Crum. She did the watercolors, and that's who Mr. Wright worked with when using them for the book.
I was looking at some of the chapters. One of them has an interesting title: Old Domino, a bull that liked children.
Sure. Yeah. So old Domino was they had these experiences with bulls and cows, and this bull would follow them around the pen, and they're fun folksy tales, and they're very family friendly, kid friendly. They have a few, the stories have a few of those moments where you're not really sure how the girls are going to deal with this situation. There's a story later where they're afraid that a man's trying to break in and steal their money, and dad's gone, and so they have their protective bulldog there who saves the day and keeps the intruder at bay, but there are all those kind of levels of stories, again, very very kid friendly and family friendly.
What's another interesting story from the book?
So Ruby experiences these stories as a young kid, and I think years later is looking back and seeing how important they were. For example, there was a local Mormon man who lived nearby, and a small group of Mormons. And this is about 100 years after the Mormon Wars drove most Mormons out of Missouri. And these Mormons were almost seen they were just a different group than at 12 Corners. 12 Corners being the name of the church that all the different people would gather at. Okay. And this Mormon man, it was funny. Ruby and her sister almost expected him to be just this, you know, wild, different, angry person, and they realize he's just like everybody else. He's a farmer and he's trying to eke out a living. And there's a great discussion of a debate that they had at 12 Corners Church between Mormons and Baptists, and they were arguing theology at this at this church. And so you get Millie's take on these groups of people. There's an old bootlegger who dies, and they're very sad because he was their, you know, he was their friend. And there's an African American couple that Ruby and her sister befriend, and they call aunt and uncle. And just that innocence of their ideas of what's different and what's not different. It's really interesting to me. But seeing it through a child's eyes and how, you know, they're terrified of these people that are different until they get to know them and realize that they're struggling the same as they are. And seeing them go to school for the first time and their explanations of their school and how excited they were to get new books and that new book smell. And there's just a lot of fun stories in here that I think will that really do show that innocence of childhood.
Very relatable for everybody too, probably.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, when I read about the new smell of books, I can imagine opening up a box of books and what that smells like and feeling the same way that Ruby did discovering that 100 years ago.
Looks like some pretty interesting ones. And it's not a real long read. Someone could read through this probably in an afternoon.
Sure. Yeah. And the way that I actually encourage people to do it is to read a chapter at a time, especially if you're reading to kids. I know I love reading to my youngest daughter, and you know, reading a chapter that, looking at the pictures together, it's very simply written. You could easily breeze through it in an afternoon.
Did Ruby write any other books?
Yeah, she self-published a cookbook and wrote a novel. During her life, she passed away over a decade ago at this point, but she. This is really something that was a labor of love for her, and then with her son Alan, seeing it to publication. She wrote this, and it wasn't published until more than a dozen years after her death, and it was something she always wanted to do, and it was something that her son made sure that, again, even years later, he accomplished and knows that she would have been very proud to see it in print and shared.
Yeah. So if folks wanted to get a copy of this, how would they go about doing that?
Sure. It's available on Amazon, and if you just Google 12, or if you Google, if you put in on Amazon 12 Corners, it should pull that up. Also, you can order it by contacting the Center for Regional History. And the best way to do that is to give us a phone call at area code 573-651-2555.
All right. Adam Cribley is the director of the Center for Regional History here at Southeast Missouri State. Adam, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Dan.
To hear more interviews, visit krcu.org.